in the dimensions of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's something I want to say now before we go open the Bible, which is that many times we make a mistake and you think that if you have a need in your life, all you need to do is to keep praying to God about that need. And that if you didn't pray to God only about that need, he's not able to supply it. Now, I was sharing this with my brother, told her in prayer cell. I was like, when God gives you spiritual blessing, it overflows to solve physical problem. Hello? If I'm praying to God and all we did in our prayer cell is that God, open my understanding, enlighten me, help me to grow. It may look like, oh, there are all these needs we're not praying for. But actually, when your spiritual eyes are open, and when you grow spiritually, 50% of your prayer just dissolve. You know why they dissolve? Because the capacity to solve them is now in you. Hallelujah. So if you are praying, and all, you see, when you're a baby Christian, and it doesn't matter, you may be 20 years in church and still be a baby Christian. You're a baby Christian. Or you'll be praying like the Gentiles. The Gentiles. I'm quoting Jesus. He said, with the Gentiles, all they pray for is, how shall we eat? What shall we wear? You know, where we will be. Now, he said, these are legitimate needs. They are legitimate. But what the Father asks for you is greater than those needs. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those needs are important, I know. If you have a deadline, it's important. If there's no money in the bank account, it's important. I've been there. Are you with me? It's no joke. But look at God. Elijah had a need of food supply. So what did God do? God sent him to the house of a widow who was waiting on her last meal. What is God trying to say there? God's trying to say that the food you're looking for, or the clothing, or the shelter, or whatever it is, they are small compared to what I want to do in your life. Amen? Now, when you allow God to work in your life, you are solidifying the foundation of spiritual blessing. Amen? You see, he said, your fathers, they ate manna in the wilderness. But they grew hungry again. You know at the party. You remember that party? You know the party I'm talking about, the big party. You know all those nice foods. I just wish now that, you know, this place was filled with them. You know why? Because it's gone. You will need it again. Are you with me? You will need it again. But the spiritual food he gives you is something that can reproduce and multiply. Jesus said, you know, he told that woman at the well, he said, you know what? This water you've come to fetch, you are coming back tomorrow. And next tomorrow, you will drink it and you will need it again. But what I want to give you is a well of water in your spirit, man. I told you this is the location. This is your innermost being. That's where your spirit lives. You know why he wants to give you that well of water? Because that one can keep reproducing. Amen? What God wants to give you is not just a blessing. God wants to give you the capacity to produce blessings. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Open your Bible. We're not yet going to the main message, but it's a bonus. Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Somebody here will be excited. Verse 28. To 30. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Yes, we would like to read. Yes. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Please follow your Bible.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul.
What will you find?
Rest.
You will find rest for your soul. Yes, continue.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
For my yoke is what? Easy and my burden is light. Now, you know, don't read that scripture and think that God, Jesus is saying you shouldn't walk again. Walk is a part of life. You know why? Because if you are not walking, you cannot produce. So, you see, to be non-productive is a sin. To just walk through life, be eating the produce of others, and not produce is a sin. You got it? But we are not producing the same thing. Amen? As a pastor, there is productivity. You are producing something. As an accountant, you are producing what? Something. How do we define production? Anything you do to add value to other lives is what? Productivity. Now, so to do nothing is a sin. In fact, I say it's not just a sin, it's wickedness. Because the Bible called the lazy servant who went to bury his talent wicked. Are you with me? Yeah? So that's not what the Bible is saying there. What the Bible is saying is that it is possible for you to expend your soul on something that has no value. Are you with me? You know, the Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now, I know that when you read that scripture, you only think that maybe that happens when they die. You think that people lose their soul when they die. Yeah? In a sense, it's true. But that's not the only revelation of that scripture. You lose your soul when you are expending it on the wrong thing. You just find out, oh, I'm 60 and I've never did anything I wanted to do for God. You are expending it on the wrong thing. Are you with me? Yeah? That's the burden. That's this word. This word is, the word is structured to put unnecessary burden on your soul. Are you with me? And that means that if you don't fight it, that's the natural state. The devil will keep you busy with good things. Listen to that again. The devil can keep you busy with good things that have no spiritual value. Are you with me? He will load your soul, and the reason why he does it is why you don't have time to do the things that God really wants you to do. Because actually, anything that you will do to add value to the kingdom, ask what God wants you to do. In fact, actually, if I go up and do what God has told another person to do, but he has not told me to do, it cannot add spiritual value. Like we said last week, you can never get to where God wants to take you if you won't do what God tells you to do. It's impossible. You can do things that people will say, hey, thank you. You're the best thing that ever happened to this church. That doesn't mean that you've done God's will. You can get an award, a recognition. You can even get married to the Prince of England, you know? Hallelujah. I saw something yesterday, and it was really touching. It was a picture of Meghan, 22 years ago, when she was a teenager, when she was 15. And that picture was in front of Buckingham Palace. And then there was a picture of her in a wedding gown. And the comment was, who would have known 22 years ago that palace she was praying about, you know, and back there. You know, but let me tell you the answer. Who knows? God. Hallelujah. That means that if I want to make the most of my life, yeah, I need to be able to follow simple instruction. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. We have plans. Yeah, but your plans are inferior to God's plan. And every time you are spending yourself on your plan, I'm not saying your plans will not be successful. They can be successful. It doesn't mean you've done God's plan. You know, Paul was well studied. In fact, actually, in those days, to be a Pharisee means you're a doctor of law. Jew law. So Pharisees were PhD holders in the religious law. And Paul worked hard. In fact, Paul worked so hard, he was not only a doctor of law, he worked out and became a Roman citizen. Do you know that? Paul was a Jew, born a Jew, Hebrew. But he worked so hard, he earned citizenship. of Rome. I don't know how the end. How did you know how the end is of Rome in those days? Money. Yeah, by either by birth or by money. So you can see how much Paul worked. And after Paul got his PhD, he was still zealous to do more. And then he saw these Christians, you know, causing to the Jewish religion, and then he started working hard to persecute them. In his mind, he thought he was doing something good. But it was the devil putting those burdens on his. He was expending his soul on rubbish. Are you with me? Until God arrested him. Then God gave him a mission that is still speaking to today. Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament. I wonder, let me share this, but you know what? If you don't understand, just throw it away. Acts, the book of Acts, I think in chapter, is there one? We read a story where the apostles, you know, they gathered and they said, you know, Judas committed suicide. He betrayed Jesus and he could not forgive himself. He could not repent if he committed suicide. And the Bible already said, you know, that actually another person would take Judas's place because they were 12. So now they were 11. Now, this was before the Holy Spirit came. Yeah? And so, the disciples prayed, and to decide who would take over Judas, they cast lot. You with me? It's in the Proverbs. Proverbs talk about casting lots to decide a matter. But that was before the Holy Spirit came. Hallelujah. See, it's not everything you read in the Old Testament that will apply to the New Testament. New Testament is better. Hallelujah. If you have a doubt, old and new, ask yourself, what is better? Then that will tell you that's the new. Amen? So they cast lot. And they chose who? Ah. Where's my mic? Yes. Who did they choose?
Thomas or Joseph?
No. Think about it. Thomas, you are close. You know what you want to say. Just think. They chose somebody. Obviously, it was not one of the original apostles, but one of the disciples that were with them. Yes? Okay. Say yes?
Matthias.
Yes, absolutely. Please put your hand for this young one there. Yeah? I want to ask you a question. So after that choice, what else did you hear about Matthias? Did you hear anything about Matthias again? Not a lot or not at all? Hello? Are you with me? But that was before the Holy Spirit came. It's not God's plan for you to be casting lot. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit is there to teach you and to guide you. Yeah? So when it was the right time, he arrested Paul. And he told him, I have a mission for you. Hallelujah. So you can ask, well, you'll be right to say that Paul was a replacement for Judas. Hallelujah. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, now don't take it too tightly. I just want to teach you something there. Amen? Don't take it too tightly. Just to understand. You know? And you know, I thought about it. Do you know that, you know, I might have read in your Bible when you heard about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Yeah? But you know, Paul's thorn in the flesh is described in the same chapter. If only people will read. They don't read that, but he said, you know, I've been flogged, you know, 6 times I've received 39 stripes, in shipwrecks often, in persecution often. You see, the same persecution that Paul gave to the Christians, yeah, became what? His thorn in the flesh. You see, he reaped what he sowed. But not in that way. Okay. God turned it around for his glory. Are you with me? Till tomorrow, we are reading about Paul. Because he yielded to what the Holy Spirit was doing. You see, when you cast your cares on him, this is the way it works. It means lay down on your own agenda. Your plans, as good as they are small. They are little. They are inferior. For one simple reason, you cannot see the future. You know, when we plan, we're using our imagination to predict the future. God knows the future. It was in the future before you. Like, for God knew that Meghan Markle will be married to Harry 22 years ago when she was in front of Buckingham Palace. How long have they met? Is it up to a year? I don't think so. I think they met last, before you need. Hallelujah. For every plan you have, God has a plan. And let me tell you something. The part you don't know about God, I want to explain to you, because I know it from personal experience. God said, you know, when anytime God speaks, it's because there's a reason. He said, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He said, I know. Somebody say, I know. You know, you don't understand. It's like almost like God, you know, Bible said that when God was promising Abraham, in order for God to assure him, he said, God looked around and said, who can I swear by? And then there's nobody to swear by. So he swore by himself. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thought good and not of evil. To bring you to an expected end. To bring you to give you a future and a hope. So you need to understand that God's plan for my life is good. You see, that's why I tell you that when you say you have faith in God, you don't have faith in God. If you are doubting God's plan for your life, you think it's not good. You think that your plan is better than His plan. No! His plan is good. In fact, actually, His plan is not good. His plan is better than all your plans summed together. Because He knows your end. Hallelujah. He knows what will come your way in the future. He knows the people you will meet. He knows the challenges you will face. And then He gave you a plan. Your life will never be better than the plan of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean that you cannot succeed in your own plans. But it means that in the long run, it will never measure in glory, in beauty, in righteousness, in fruitfulness to God's plan. Are you with me? So what God wants to do in your life is He wants you to hand over all those cares. Yeah, let's say this way, all those plans to Him. Because plans can bring a heavy burden into your life. When you start chasing from one plan to another. You know, there was someone that, you know, when he started coming to church. I'm not quoting anybody, I'm just saying. It's typical. They had no job. Just praying to God. You know, God, if you can do it, just do it. Pray it faster, God give them. Not just any job, a good job. Then they got busy. Sister Lucy, when did you come to church? He said, it's this job that God gave me. It's just the demands are so much. Yeah? You know what the devil is doing there? He's giving you body and to carry. Amen? Now let me change gear because I'm just talking generally. You know, someone like, you know, maybe he's been waiting on God for a child. Now, this is the Holy Spirit just speaking. And like, you know, God, just do it. God, if you can do this, I will serve you for the rest of my life. You know, you can be that desperate. Have you ever been in a desperate situation? I don't know. Situations vary. What is desperate for someone may be different from what is desperate for another person. Right as you're sitting there, there may be something you're like, God, if you can just do this, I will. In fact, you will know. And so God does it. Yeah? And then that blessing that God gives you, if you are not careful, if you don't walk with God. You see, if you never learn to walk with God, even when God blesses you, devil will take over and use it as a burden. Hello, are you listening to me? Someone is trusting God for a life partner or, married. Say, God, and then God does it. Before you know it, they start idolizing the person. Their prayer life goes down. What? Down. Fellowship? Down. Service? Down. So, there is nothing in this world that the devil cannot use to bring burden into your life. He will load you. And you know, the devil is not an easy taskmaster. He will load you maximally. Let me tell you. It's not all bad. For example, let's assume that you are someone that likes parties. And the devil says,
You like party. So he will connect you with party friends. And now load, he will load you maximally. There's such a thing called the party spirit. You will be so loaded, you will complain to your wife that, you know, all these parties, I don't have time. I'm enjoying them, but actually, you may not complain if you're enjoying it, but your wife will complain. I say, last week, you went to London. The other weekend, you don't have time for us. But then you tell her, you say, but I told you, come with me. Are you with me? Anything the devil can use to load you. Are you with me? What Jesus is saying is that don't build your life of any of these things. They are valuable, yes. They are valuable. But the moment you are going to build your life on it, devil will take advantage. Because that's what he does. I have a yoke. That's the part I wanted to explain. That when God says, cast all your cares upon me, it didn't mean that you just go around and say, I'm carefree. I don't have any cares in the world. No. He said, take my yoke upon you. You know what that means? It means that follow my own plan. I will guide you. What I found out is that anytime you follow God's plan, all the other things that are making your life difficult, he will guide you into their solution. Yeah? But he will do it such a way that he takes the preeminence in your life. Hallelujah. You know, actually, where God wants you to be is a place where even if anything you are looking for is not solved, you still treasure the fact that you are following him and you are doing his will. Now, if you are not following him or doing his will, he will keep you so busy that you'll be chasing what you are chasing. And your life will be ticking away. And moreover, to make it worse, you have no peace. You know, you will not have joy. Because that thing you are chasing, sometimes even if you get some of it, you want more. Hello? Are you with me? You want what? More. There will be no contentment. I don't know if you've been there. Have you ever been there where you got something you wanted? Then when you got it, you discovered that actually, you could ask something more along that line. And then you got dissatisfied. I don't know if you've been there, because I know what I'm talking about. And you, because you, what you don't know is that the devil is at work. You, sometimes you think as if the devil, you know the way some, we think the devil has gone on holiday to Dubai. He's there, you know how it works. He will come, he will whisper. If he knows that he won't listen, he will bring a friend. Say, have you heard of, we can do this. They would have told you if God give you that blessing, but when that blessing came, they saw the opportunity. They now suggest an idea to you. Oh, you can invest here, or you can actually, it will load you. Because what the devil has to do like that so that you don't have time for God. You will still praise God. Don't misunderstand me. You will praise God, you will come to church. But your heart, where? Even when you're in church, you're thinking of that investment. Are you with me? The one that has children is thinking, the clothes I need to buy. They're going to start school soon. Shoes. Clothes. Now, all these things are important. Don't misunderstand me. But the moment they load your heart, they become a heavy burden. Hallelujah. So, but what he's saying is, take my own yoke. It simply means, instead of having your big agenda for life, let's walk this journey together, day by day. Let me help you. Hello? Let me help you live this life. That's the way to live without regret. You know, because even when the storms come and things are shaking, you will not lose your peace because you have a relationship. Are you with me? There are some things in my life that they are not working the way I want them now, but I can always fall back on my relationship with God. And it keeps me calm. Hallelujah. But when my relationship with God is not strong, you will lose your peace. Yeah? You will feel like weighing on yourself. Are you with me? Are you having that situation? Yeah? So God wants you. I need to open Romans. Let me teach you one or two things in Romans about the Holy Spirit. You say, you ask yourself, how does this relate to the Holy Spirit? I want to show you the relationship between Matthew 11, 28 to 30 and the Holy Spirit. So open to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So we're looking to round up in 10 minutes. Romans chapter 8. And after that, I would like to ask some questions to sort of keep you active. Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Romans chapter 8. Are you there? If you are there, shout hallelujah. Okay, good. Yes, where's my mic now? I want someone to read for me from verse 2. Romans 8, verse 2. Someone who has not read today. Romans 8, 2. Yes? Please read. Romans chapter 8, verse 2.
And because you belong to him.
Because you belong to him.
The power of the life-giving spirit.
The power of the life-giving spirit.
Has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death.
Has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Let's have it from King James or New King James. Romans chapter 8 verse 2. Yes.
For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
The law of the spirit, life in Christ.
Hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
Amen. You see. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit is the law of God written in your heart. That's why he can teach you. Amen? In the Old Testament, they had to refer back to the written code to know how to live. In the New Testament, it's based on our relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And as we are going our way in life, he's teaching us what to do. He's telling you when to take a left turn and when to take a right turn. It doesn't belong only to the pastor. It belongs to you if you're a child of God. The Holy Spirit is in you. Now, if you've never experienced the Holy Spirit leading you like that, it's because you've neglected that relationship. Any relationship you neglect will go down. Hallelujah. If you want to, a practical way is to start and say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? Try it. Please turn to your neighbor and say, try it. Just ask him. Hallelujah. Just ask him. Then he will lead you. And what he does is that he will set you free from those heavy burdens. Hallelujah. You see, if you are going to verse 3, let's have verse 3. Yes, sister. Any version. Verse 3, Romans 8, 3.
This is the NIV version.
Yes.
So from 3, 4, 1.
NIV is not my favorite. But anyway. Sorry, I just... For completeness.
For what the law was powerless to do.
Yes.
Because it was weakened by the flesh.
Yes.
God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh.
Amen. I like that. Now look at verse 5. Read verse 5.
Those who live according to the flesh.
Those who live according to the flesh.
Have their mind set on what the flesh desires.
That's everybody. But now listen. Yeah. What the flesh desires is not necessarily sinful. Like, you know, like maybe the flesh desires to steal or, you know, be moral. No. What the flesh desires talks about personal agenda in the mind. What the flesh desires is those things that will make you compete with your equals and make you shine. They are all part of the desires of the flesh, isn't it? Yeah? Are you listening to me? They're all part of the desires of the flesh. Hallelujah. Yes? Continue.
But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires.
You see, that's the key. Hallelujah. There is always going to be a yoke. But it's either going to be the yoke of the flesh or the yoke of the Spirit. You see, To find true rest, you have to set your mind on what the Spirit desires. Now, let me simplify it. It simply means, let God lead you on this journey. Even when you want to have plans, have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Let him guide you. When he has not told you what to do, wait. Hello? He said, just say, wait. Say, there's no harm. Is in waiting on the Lord. Let me show you a story. Abraham. You know Abraham? We call him what? The father of Anybody like Abraham? Yeah? You know, Abraham was so great. Even the paradise, they called it Abraham's bosom. Yeah? That was the paradise in Hades. Okay? They've been moved up now. They couldn't go up until Jesus died. Do you know that the disciples of Jesus were not born again until Jesus died? Do you know that? Peter, James, and John, and whatever, they were not born again. They could never be born again if the sacrifice was not yet paid. Hello? That's why when Jesus died and rose again, he appeared to them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's why he got born again. Because no one can be saved until the sacrifice is paid. In fact, they don't go to heaven either. That's why they had to go to Abraham's bosom. It was down. That's why rich man was able to see Lazarus. Eh? Do you think somebody under the ground will see heaven? When Jesus died, he led captivity captive and he freed those in prison and led them as a train. And now, if a true believer dies in Christ, to be absent in body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Because the price has been paid. That's why Jesus said, no one! Somebody say, no one? No one can come to the Father except through me. Are you with me? But Abraham, when God called him, how old was he? Yes, 75. Any disagreement? You agree? Okay, fine. And how old was Sarah? Okay, let me give you a clue. Abraham was like 10 years older, I think. Yeah? 10. I think he was 10 years older. Because I think when Abraham was 100, Sarah was 90. Am I right? Yeah? 65. Now, how old was Abraham? God called him at 75. And God told him, you know, you make him a great, you know, how old was Abraham when God gave him Isaac? He was 100. Yeah. I know you forgot. Now, what age did Abraham die? You can get it without looking at the Bible, £5. Okay, now look at your Bible. It's in Genesis. You're close. I think it goes down. I want a sure answer now, just to be sure. Google something. Google, we are rounding up, that's like 3 minutes. What age did Abraham die? Hello? Yeah, near? Yeah? 175. So for how many years was he without Isaac? In ratio, how many, compared to his waiting time, how long did he enjoy that blessing for? That's a plan. Amen. Hallelujah. The waiting time looked like massive. Killer whale. Yeah? But when God came through for him, because the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he has what? No sorrow. Actually, he enjoyed that blessing 3 times the length of his week. That's how God does his business. Amen? You know the story of Job? Job? You know what he went through? Question. For how long did he go through that? About 9 months. Do you, anybody have a different answer? How long do you think Job suffered for? Yeah, just give me an answer. How long? 9 months. I'm surprised. Everybody's telling me 9 months. Come on. How long Job suffered for in your mind? I'm not just as the way you see it. Just in your mind, the way you see it. 3 years. Any other person? You know, sometimes you even think that Job suffered for his whole lifetime. Amen. Now, it's not explicitly stated in the Bible how long. But, you know, just based on the circumstantial evidence, we work out that it was about 9 months or a year. Now, how long did Job live after God restored him? How old was Job when he died? Anybody know? Okay, give me a sign. Go and read the book of Job. I'm just trying to show you that your time of trial. Yeah? If you are walking with God. You see, the only thing that can prolong your trial is if you refuse to follow what God is telling you to do. But so long you are following, and I've kept saying, I say, even if you've made mistakes, you enter trial. Yeah? So long you are following the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Because you have to decide, the mind of the flesh is death. Death includes everything that went wrong. I told you last week, they are all in the club of death. Poverty is in the club of death. Sickness and disease is the club of death. Lack is the club of death. Oppression and depression, they are all the club of death. And what is the sidekick of death again? Fear. How does fear work? The fear of rejection. The fear of discovery. The fear of, you know, running out of time. The fear of this, the fear of that. That's how death dominates people. But he said the mind of the spirit means follow. Just let the Holy Spirit guide you. You have to prioritize that above any other thing you are looking for in life. Because until you prioritize it, the devil will get you. Are you listening to me? Let me explain. When Jesus was being tempted, Jesus was fasting. The devil came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, what do you do? Command these stones to you. What do you think the devil was trying to do then? Let's have some ideas. Random. What was the devil trying to do? Jesus is fasting. In fact, Jesus was about finishing his fasting, yeah? But the devil said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to be what? Bread. And he quoted scripture. What was he trying to do?
I think he was trying to get him to break that fast and not
break that fast, okay, yes.
He was trying to make him sin.
Sin, yes. All correct. Anybody give me, I'm just looking for a word. Break the fast. Someone, I need a word that is better than breaking the fast.
Maybe trying to make him doubt himself.
Doubt himself, no. What was Satan going to do?
Obey him.
Oh, to obey. Yes, yeah, you're close, but I'm looking for the word. It starts with D. They say no. Distract. Distract. That's the goal. That's the goal of that temptation. Distract him from following the instruction. Yeah? And to begin to focus on his need. Amen? Amen? That's what the devil wants you to do all the time. The devil wants you to focus on your need. Distract you from following instruction. And the only reason why he does that is that he knows that God will do something greater in your life if you can follow instruction. Amen? Are you with me? We need to round up now. Romans 8:14 says, for as many, look at it, Romans 8:14. This is the yoke that God wants to give you. Say to yourself, say, this is the yoke that is easy. And the burden that is light. Now let's read Romans 8:14 together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons. That's the yoke. The yoke is that he wants to guide you. And he wants you to follow instruction. And I'm telling you, anybody who has a problem with following instruction, yeah, cannot be led by the Spirit. You know why? Because when you give instruction, it may not make sense. You just say, don't do it. You will still praise him. Don't misunderstand me. You will still love him, but you will not follow what he's telling you to do. Amen. You see, the fact that you have to go through a wait time, sometimes, not all the time, it varies. Please don't misunderstand me. Don't ever go off and think that every time you have to wait. No. Problems are different. Situations are different. Circumstances are different. There are some things in your problem you don't even know why. But it's there. You don't know, but it's there. And God will show you. But he may not show you. Like I told you, like Abraham and Sarah, there were different type of problems that were going on. Let me leave it. Sarah had a medical problem. Abraham did not. Yeah? But Abraham was not going to let go of Sarah. He was prepared to die with her and not have a child. Did Abraham even beg God for a child? No. Yeah? But God promised him and he believed. Yeah? But God did not even fulfill that promise until Abraham himself had a medical problem. God had to wait. He became impotent. Then, okay, now God is able. And then he gave them a child. Then, remember, read your Bible. Isaac, the only child of Abraham. After Abraham died, Abraham took other wives. Well, at least one more, I know. Keturah. So, how many sons did Abraham have? Do you remember? Yeah? How many children in total? Read your Bible. So God revived him. And then he had more. Is God not great? What God wants to do in your life is bigger than your biggest dream. Hallelujah. With God, nothing is what? Impossible. If God revived it, you know what? When God answered Priscilla's prayer, it was not just the problem she had. By now, she was not even old. When she was young, she couldn't perform. But now she's old. But God, so that tells me that there is no limit. That's why sometimes when problems present, I don't want to go into too much detail. Because they will distract you from what God is able to do. Hallelujah. If you know that God created your body, if you know that God created all the resources on this earth, is it that mobile phone that looks special? Do you know most of the content is sand? I'm telling you, digital electronics are made from what? Sand. That's why in the US they have what they call Silicon Valley. Sand. And glass. Even glass is from sand. Glass is where? From sand. So what you're holding is what? Sand. So God is able. Hallelujah. But you will need to follow instruction. And also, there can be waiting time between sowing good seed and what? Reaping. If you have to be in a wait time and you've done all you need to do, just trust God. It will come true for you. And trust me, what God will do for you will compensate every damage that has been done in your waiting time. Because for everything that Job lost, God gave him what? Double. The only thing God didn't give him double for was the children. Because I tell you something, if your children are believers, you don't lose them. They are waiting in heaven. God cannot replace them. They are not lost. They didn't go to hell. They are waiting. So God gave him another set. It's still double. Because when he dies, he will have double. With those children that died, because they were in faith, yeah, he did not lose them. So God did not replace those ones. But every other thing, that tells you the difference between a human being and an animal. Yeah? A human being is not equivalent to an animal. God gave him double. He lost them. But the children, he did not lose. Though they died, they were waiting. Are you with me? And these new daughters, you know, the old daughters, we didn't hear anything about them. But these new daughters, they became what? They were the most beautiful. Well, that's restoration. When God restores you, he compensates for what you have lost, and he also gives you what you have gained. Hallelujah. And so, his yoke is easy, and his body is light. So this business of trusting God means your willingness to follow simple what? Instruction. And that instruction will come from inside you. Because that's where the Holy Spirit lives. Except you are not born again. And if you are not born again, you need to. Then he will be able to lead you. He will. I'm telling you, if you are expecting it to lead you, you are talking to it to guide, he will guide you. And you will get there. Hallelujah. But you see, when you get there, your need will not take the glory. Because above your need, you were following him. That's the biggest issue. When you follow him, that's your greatest treasure. Then he will add all the other things. And even if they were not added, your life is still having value. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I believe that God has spoken to you today. I just spoken to you from my heart. I believe that the Holy Spirit has, I don't know. In my spirit, I know that message is for all of us in different ways. And today, I want you to connect with what God has said. What I want you to say back to God is, God, I to trust you totally. But I've told you, the proof that you're trusting God is that you will follow his simple instructions. And that instruction sometimes can be waiting. Yeah? Hello? The simple instruction of God sometimes can be what? Waiting. The simple instruction sometimes can be God will tell you go and undo some things you've done. Hello? God can tell you. God can show you something in your past that you need to undo. Now, if God has not told you, don't worry about it. Hello? I said, if God has anything to tell you, we tell you if you are willing to listen. The only reason why God doesn't tell you things is that you are not willing or you are not ready to listen. I won't tell my children things when I know they are not ready. Why should I waste my time? But once you are ready, you are willing, it will lead you into all truth. Amen? And so long you are willing to follow, it will take you through. Because that's his nature, he can't deny himself. Talk to God today. And rededicate yourself to trust him. But trusting means willingness to follow instruction. You know, for God to move your life forward, he may need you to go and undo some things. And he may need you to go and redo some things. Yeah? And he will tell you. Like I said, if he has not told you, don't go fishing. Just trust him. I say, God, I'm willing. I'm ready. The more willing you become, the more he will tell you things to do. And it will lead you to where he's taking you. That big plan where all other things will be added to you. Everything that's a problem today before God is not a simple thing. Simple. Because by his word, he made the whole world. By his word, he made the whole world. By this, just a word, he said, light be. And it became. So just reaffirm your trust in God. Say, I just trust you. And I choose, I open my heart today more. I know you may say your heart is open, but open it more. Become more willing, more flexible in the hands of the Holy Spirit. So that he can indeed lead you. Then you can live like a son of God. I know you want to live like a son of God, which you are. But you never enter the fullness until you are being led. On a daily basis. And that leading sometimes means waiting, you know. Waiting is part of the game. Bible says those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings. It may take time, people. It may take time. But it will never be a bad deal. God will never give you a bad deal if you are waiting on him truly. He will compensate you so much that he will replace all you lost and gives you double. In fact, Abraham's case was triple of the time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's rise up and sing. God will make a way. No, let's not sing that. The Holy Spirit has changed it. Amen. Hallelujah. The song says, Holy Spirit, move me now and make my life whole again. Spirit, move over me. And I want to just open your heart and receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. This is not about baptizing in the Holy Spirit. This is about the Holy Spirit who lives in you because you are born again.
Over me, Holy Spirit, over me, Holy Spirit, move me. Spirit, move over me, Holy Spirit.